So a patient who speaks only Spanish is sitting in the emergency room, and the very nice nurse, who speaks un poquito de español, tries to tell him that he's going to be admitted to the hospital. Only, instead of saying ingresado, which means admitted, she tells him he's going to be enterrado, which means buried. It's a true story, and just one of many that Shiva Bidarsilov can tell. In her work as a medical interpreter, she's seen all sorts of mistakes, like the sign in the CAT scan waiting room that tells Spanish-speaking patients they're going to have an exploration of the cat, the animal, cat. More and more hospitals are hiring interpreters these days, as America's population grows ever more culturally diverse. Shiva Bidarsilov told Anne Strainchamps that while linguistic mistakes can provide some comic relief, the real work medical interpreters do is a kind of cultural brokering.
Let me give you kind of an example of what can happen. The mother would call and say, okay, I need an urgent care appointment for my child. She has a high fever and is being very fussy for the last couple of days. Sounds like, you know, something that can happen very frequently to a baby, let's say. So you go to the appointment and the mother keeps mentioning, let's give an example of a Mexican mother, keeps mentioning the fact that this all started because of el susto, which is literally translated a fright. And it was because somebody left the house and just closed the door very quickly and made a loud noise, and it startled the baby. And if the provider is not aware of this cultural reference from the mother, they probably would just think it's just some description and it really is no big deal. At that time, the interpreter may say, doctor, if you don't mind, I would like to give you a little background of what she's meaning by el susto. And el susto, for example, is a cultural reference among Mexicans that refers to exactly that, the fact that if you see something happen that is frightening to you, you can immediately become sick. Huh. It is believed to be, for example, the cause of diabetes.
Are there specific diseases that you've found through your experience lead to the most kind of cultural gaps?
You see those things very often in pediatric patients, and I think the reason behind that is that there is, in most culture, a lot of different illnesses and different things that can affect children because children are very susceptible to everything. For example, one of the things that can happen is the evil eye. And what it usually is somebody just praising a child a lot, just saying your child is just beautiful. I can't believe how, you know, beautiful he is. He just looks so great. And by this praising, that person could be really sending just some bad vibes, I guess is what you could call them, and make that person sick. Very often that person that is doing that doesn't even know that they're bringing the evil eye to that child. So it is difficult even for that person to know. But for example, if you're aware of that, that overpraising can be seen as something that could bring an illness to the child, you would be more careful about doing it. For example, among the Mexican patient, one of the things that often keeps the evil eye away is that as you're praising the child, if you touch the child, if you get close to the child, touch his or her head and say, oh, just it's a beautiful child. And that usually is okay. Very often they wear amulets, either a bracelet or something around their neck that protects them against the evil eye. That's another thing. If a provider sees those amulets and sometimes they think, oh, you know, what is this? You know, this is unnecessary. Or you even hear sometimes comment about, take that off, that could be just dangerous for the child. You know, they could choke themselves with that, or, you know, it's not good to have anything hanging from your baby, just take that off. That kind of comment obviously can show a lack of total cultural competency, because usually the parents are like, well, how can they tell me this? This is just such an important part of protecting my baby against any kind of illness.
What about vice versa? Have you ever been in a situation where the Western doctor says you have diabetes or you have allergy-induced asthma or is making some diagnosis, and the patient really doesn't have a cultural concept of that illness, or may, in their culture, may not believe that this is a real illness? Has that ever come up?
That comes up very frequently with chronic illnesses or illnesses that have a very bad prognosis. diagnosing cancer among Hmong patients is very difficult because as soon as the doctor tells a Hmong patient you have cancer, first of all, in those languages, there's usually not an exact equivalent because obviously the Hmong medical system wasn't based on the same kind of things that the Western medical system is based off. So even things like cancer or diabetes may not have an exact equivalent in the other language.
So what does an interpreter do then?
An interpreter then usually tries to elicit some explanation from a doctor. It's like, could you use some other words to describe cancer? Very often what we've seen is those patients say, well, I don't see anything wrong with me physically. Because from the outside, as far as their body is concerned, everything that they can see with their eyes, everything looks okay. But somebody is telling them that there is something inside you that is going to kill you or could potentially kill you. So they have a complete mistrust of that kind of diagnosis.
So then I can see where this would get very ethically dicey for or tense for a translator, especially if the person's cancer really needs to be treated right away. How do you as a translator convey this?
Also, how do you explain to somebody that is just not even believing that your diagnosis is correct, that now you're going to be giving them chemotherapy and radiation, which is going to make them really, really sick? And sometimes those patients weren't really sick to start with. It just becomes an absolute two cultures just coming into collision just because there's just no way people, you know, can understand why, you know, this doctor would be telling them this and then would be making them sicker with the end goal that they're going to be actually cured from something that they didn't really think they had to start with.
So what are the thorniest cases like this that you've had yourself?
The thorniest case I think I've seen is a Hmong child that was diagnosed with leukemia. Oh. Again, it was very, very difficult because, of course, from the ethical perspective of the pediatrician, they wanted to do everything to save this child's life because they thought that with the existing treatment that there would be a good possibility maybe to cure this child. The family and the parents were refusing treatment for the child. So it becomes really a dilemma because it sometimes gets to the point, and in this case it involved the court system as far as the hospital trying to get custody of the child so that they could give the child treatment.
What happened?
The child did die at the end after all the treatment that they had received. The child died, and I think one of the things that happened is that community where the child was coming from in small town in Wisconsin very much developed a total mistrust of the medical system.
I imagine when it gets into the area, not just of medical treatment, but of death and dying, it must get extremely difficult also because there are such different cultural attitudes toward, you know, the concept of what is a good death.
Death and dying is one of also the most difficult situations, especially because, again, the American medical system has developed these tenets. For example, one of the tenets is the right of the patient to know their prognosis and the fact that they're dying.
Are there cultures where people wouldn't want to know?
There is many cultures where people wouldn't want to know that they're dying.
Why not?
Many cultures that believe that just by knowing that you're going to be dying or just by being told that you're going to be dying, that's a certain death. So it's very difficult because even things like informed consent before you go to surgery, that's, again, one of the big tenets of American medical culture is you give the patient informed consent. And if you've ever read really an informed consent fully and when it's explained to the patient, it says there is many risks to surgery and one of the risks is dying. Well, when you're telling somebody that that's one of the risks from a lot of different cultures, they think, well, then I'm not going to have this surgery because just by the fact that they mention that there is a possibility of dying, it is going to happen.
Has this come up for you? Is there any particular people or family you remember that's come up with?
Yeah, we've had actually families where I remember one family where it was a young man who was here and the parents were actually back in Mexico. And the family members that were here did not want the parents in Mexico to know the grave prognosis of this young man here. They thought that just by calling the family and letting them know that he was so sick, that first of all, he was certainly going to die, and that also that was going to make his parents really potentially sick. create illnesses in the family, just really bring a bad outcome for the entire family.
So what did you
do? It was very difficult because, again, from the Western perspective, it's like the next of kin were the parents, and it was so important to inform the parents about the gravity of the situation. At the end, we did convince the family that it was very important that the parents be aware of how difficult the situation was, and maybe even give them an opportunity of coming to the U.S. before their son died, which did happen. They were able to make it before their son died. So it becomes difficult to negotiate those things. And again, to impose your belief that you think the best thing from a Western medical perspective is to inform the family.
Are there any cases you think of when you think of cases that really worked out well, where there was some kind of strong cultural barrier and it really worked to get through it and doctor and patient wound up really understanding each other?
Yes, we had a case lately of a Hmong child that was diagnosed with cancer. And though it has not reached the point yet of conclusion, I think what really worked well in that instance is a long conversations with the pediatric oncologist for this family, and having that pediatric oncologist go all the way to Appleton. The family had originally refused treatment and had gone back to Appleton and kind of pretty much said, we're just going to do our herbal remedies and use the shaman. We just really don't trust the diagnosis that you gave us. And so it took probably a whole day between traveling there, meeting with the family and coming back. But the next week, the family was down here in Madison. The child was admitted and was receiving treatment. So it really paid off to make that extra, take that extra step and make that extra effort, lose that whole day to make that trip, but really gain so much in trust and confidence in the system from the family.
Shiva Bidar-Silov is a medical interpreter at the University of Wisconsin Hospital in Madison, Wisconsin. Anne Strangeham spoke with her.